It's always nice just to talk to girls. We can talk our stuff. And Andres told quite a few stories. I always, you know, think when he tells the stories, he's just telling 50%. Now, what about all the other detail that he's left out? So I wish I have time to tell you everything that he didn't say about the 8 guys and whatever, you know. But yeah, maybe I'll have time. We're going to try and finish at 9, so I've just have a few things I want to talk to you about. But I really want to ask you if you have any questions. If I say something and it doesn't make sense, or you disagree, or you maybe want to just ask something on it, please feel free to raise your hand. I know it's not so easy in a big group like this to feel free to do that, but I just want to give you the option, okay, to stop me, to ask a question, to say, Sonika, just repeat that, it doesn't make sense, what do you mean? Okay, I want it to be interactive, so I don't know everything, I don't have all the knowledge, I'm sure I can learn many things from you, but we've been married for 12 years now. This year was the 12th year, in March, we were married for 12 years, and It's been amazing. It's really been amazing. I can tell you it's something you can look forward to if you get married, not necessarily to the right person. I know we're always looking for the right person, but you can look forward to it if God is going to be the center of your marriage. Because sometimes we find the right person, and marriage is not necessarily what we thought it's going to be. Because God doesn't stay the center of your relationship, but if he does, even in a dating relationship, it will be amazing. Okay, so you can look forward. It's something you can look forward to. Don't look at people who get divorced and who are all negative and cynical about relationships and marriage, because as Andre said, we are a living testimony that it can work, not by our own strength and our own goodness, but by the grace of God that is available to all of us. Okay, so I just want to really give you hope and just say that it's something special, it's something you can look forward to, and it's something that God has in store for all of you. And this is what I want to talk about tonight, just to address a few thoughts that go through our minds, especially in the time when we wait for the person to arrive. Okay, so just a bit of background. I had a friend at school. She had one boyfriend after the other. She was my role model. She was a year older than I was. A Christian girl, really followed God with all of her hearts. We connected very well. I wanted to be like her. I wanted to look like her. I wanted to speak like her. I wanted to just be like her. But interestingly enough, I got married. As I say, she had the one boyfriend after the other. I never had a boyfriend at school. She had to wait for a husband until the age of 33. Interesting. I got married when I was 24. She had to wait for a husband until the age of 33. Pretty girl. Very popular. As I say, the one boyfriend after the other at school. There was absolutely nothing wrong with her. In fact, she was... If I was a guy, I would have, you know, thought she's a good option. So The reason why I'm telling that is just to say that God has a purpose and a plan with your life. She got married to a really great guy. She went to YWAM, for those of you who know YWAM. She went to YWAM after school. She's got involved in a school in Texas, and she stayed at YWAM. She was very committed to that lifestyle and her job, you know, as a missionary. And obviously, she was looking for a specific kind of guy, because that was a passion, that was a life. And God gave her somebody. He was actually also 2 years, Andre's a year and a half younger than I am. So that's also maybe good news for some of you. You can really get married to a guy who's younger than you. Okay, that's totally fine. I mean, even 3 years, 4 years, what does that matter in the end? I mean, if it gets more than 4 or 5, either way... I mean, for me, I always say to God, Lord, I want 3 years difference maximum, 3 years older than me. I had this thing that my husband's going to sit on the stoop and I want to do things and he's going to be old and tired. And So I said, oh God, please, not like that 10-year kind of gap. And I know for some people it can work, so please don't get me wrong. But for me, I was so happy that Andre was younger than me. It made my day, you know, it all worked out like that. So he was younger. Her husband's also now younger, I think 2 years younger than she is. But she got married at the age of 33. She now has two beautiful kids. I'm 37, she's 38. She has two beautiful children. Even though she got married at the age of 33, she has an amazing husband and two beautiful kids. So I just want to encourage you, age. Sometimes I know when we get older, we feel our biological clock is ticking, you know, that all that kind of talk. We get worried because we would really love to have kids, all of us. And we get worried because we get older and am I ever going to have children because there's not even a man on the horizon. And I really just want to encourage you that God is so in control of our lives. With me, on the other hand, I got married at the age of 24. I had my first baby at the age of 30, 31. We've been battling with us to fall pregnant with our second one now for more than 3 years. So even though my friend got married at the age of 33, I got married at the age of 24. She now has two beautiful children, and we only have one. And I just want to share that with you because all of us have our faith challenges, all right? My sister got married at the age of 22, has three beautiful kids, but they've been battling financially as long as I can remember. That is their faith challenge, okay? They've been trusting God for many times for provision, for financial provision. So all of us have something we need to trust the Lord for. It's not bad to trust the Lord for something, okay? Some of us get married in early age. Maybe you can feel it's unfair. That girl gets married at 24. Here I am, 28, and I have no one. But let me tell you, that girl you're looking at, she has her own faith challenges that you need to trust God for. So just see it in perspective. Don't compare your situation with anybody else, because then you will lose hope. Just know that God has a blueprint of your life. He has a beautiful picture. And God is not, we can't put him in a box and say, God, I'm 30, there's nobody, am I ever going to have children? Okay? I met a woman at the gym the other day, 45 years old. I know you guys are not thinking about children, but I just want to give you a bit of perspective. She was 45 and she was pregnant, 8 months pregnant, with a perfect baby girl, 45. And I know it's not really our dream to be pregnant at the age of 45, but let me tell you, your life story is written in God's book. And don't feel that you are getting older and that you might never have children, because God is perfectly in control of your life. Okay, does it all make sense to you? Just to give you some hope. So I just want to talk about a few thoughts that go through our heads when we're waiting for the right one. So this is where you can ask questions at any time. The one thing I know that the devil often come and whisper in our ear is there's something wrong with me. There must be something wrong with me because I'm 29 and I'm not married yet, so there must be something wrong with me. Let me tell you, there is actually something wrong with all of us, okay? But on the other hand, there's nothing wrong with anyone of us, because if you are convinced that you're not in a relationship because of certain issues you have or certain weaknesses, let me tell you, that is not the reason why you're not in a relationship. Then none of us should have got married, who are married. I don't know any married person without issues or weaknesses. I don't know any perfect person who's married. Okay? So God is not waiting for us to turn into a perfect person before he now is going to give you your husband or your spouse. Because many times people feel that they feel under so much pressure to change. And they feel, if I don't change into something perfect, or as perfect as I think I should be, then God, then I don't deserve a person, because then I'm going into a relationship as half a person or like three quarters of a person, and it's not going to be a blessing. All of us go into a relationship imperfect. Okay, so I just want to say that is not, if you feel that the reason why you're not in a relationship is because you are, there's something wrong with you, it's not the truth. All right? It's not the truth. There's nothing wrong with you. Okay, there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with you, and you don't have to be perfect before God is going to give you somebody. Okay, so I just want to give you peace about that. The other thing I know many people think is maybe God is punishing me now for everything I've done wrong. Anybody ever thought like that? Maybe God is punishing me because I've done this wrong, and I've been disobedient there, and I didn't listen to him there, and I messed up there. So maybe now I'm just never going to be able to make a relationship work because I have so much baggage. That's another lie. All right? God will never punish you by not giving you a life partner. It's not the God that I serve. All right? God is not, God's intention is not to punish us. All right? He has our best interest at heart, and he will never just intentionally now punish us because we have made mistakes in the past. All right? Yes, we have to follow the Lord. Yes, we have to play this game of marriage and relationships and the game of life according to God's rules. But he will never punish you by not giving you someone because of something you did in the past. All right? God does not work like that. So please know that if you've made mistakes in the past, even if you maybe, I mean, I've spoken to a girl once. She said to me, she got married to the wrong person. She said to me when she walked down the aisle, it was as if she felt God's presence leaving her. She felt so uncomfortable. She felt so uneasy. She knew she's doing the wrong thing. She got married and divorced later on, but she knew. Now, is God going to punish her because she deliberately disobeyed him? Because she knew she had an uneasy feeling the whole time about this thing. Is God not going to punish her? No. He wants to give her the best. All right? We just need to follow God and serve him and be in tune with his voice at all times. And he will speak to you. God is faithful to speak to you. He's not going to punish you. Okay, that's good news. Maybe you feel, my parents got divorced, my aunt got divorced, my sister got divorced. Why will I be able to make a success of my marriage? I mean, in my dad's family, they have four siblings. One is divorced. In my mother's side, also four siblings, and one's divorced. So it's a 25%, and that is the older generation, eh? Andre's parents are divorced. Let me tell you that your parents or your family or family tradition or whatever happened in your family does not determine your future or your destiny. It does not determine your future. God does. God does. And you can start a whole new generation, a whole new family, a whole new destiny the day when you get married. Okay? I mean, Andre and I have no intention to get divorced. No intention. It's just, it will just never be an option for us. And it doesn't mean that we can just sit back and relax. We have to fight daily for our unity, for our intimacy, for our friendship. It is a battle. There is a war to break down relationships, to steal peace, to steal love. However, it is possible to live happily ever after. It is. It's not all moonshine and roses and just like, you know, sit back and relax. It is a war, but it is possible. All right? You don't have to get divorced. It's not God's plan. It's not God's will. And if you've been in a situation, if you are divorced, there's always a second chance. You can start a new generation, a new family. All right? You can start all over again with a new, blessed family or destiny for your generation and for your children and for their children. Okay, so divorce, no matter how many statistics of divorce there are around you and in your family, you can start over. You can start afresh and new. Okay, any questions? Anything this stage you want to ask? Okay, nothing, you're very quiet. I'm going to tell a few jokes or something. Okay. Is it really such a big problem to be unequally yoked? I just want to talk about that one as well. Is it really such a big problem to be unequally yoked? If you've been waiting for a while for the right person, you could start thinking, is it really such a big problem to start dating a guy who's not really in love with God? Depending on where your relationship is with the Lord. Okay, it's like Andre said, if we're following God with all of our hearts, He's going to lead us. But if we make an idol of a person, we're not going to follow God. All right? That person will draw us away from the Lord. But sometimes we come to a point, if we've been waiting for a while, we come to a place where we feel, is it really such a big problem to date a guy and to get married to a guy if he is not really fully in love with God? Okay, how many of you have ever thought about it? Is it really such a big problem? Let me tell you, it's a huge problem. Okay, it's a huge problem. If you have a close relationship with the Lord and your husband does not, or your boyfriend, or during the time that you date, it might seem okay. Because let me tell you, during the dating stage, both parties put their best foot forward. They're not 100% themselves. You know, the moment you get married, people start relaxing and then they become who they really are because now they can relax. Okay, it's not necessarily bad. It's also good. You get to know the real person. But that is why you have to make it priority to get married to somebody who really follows God. Let me tell you, if you get married to somebody who does not know God, you're going to argue about pretty much almost everything. You're going to have disagreements about how to spend money. You're going to have disagreements about how to raise your children. You're not going to be able to pray together. You're not going to be able to connect spiritually, which is a very, very big part of who we are. You need somebody to lead you spiritually. Okay, this is maybe one of the most important things I'm going to say tonight, but you need somebody who can lead you spiritually. It doesn't mean that the guy must now be a pastor or a public speaker or anything. He must be following God with all of his heart, a no compromise person loving God. He must be able to hear God's voice. Let me tell you, there were so many times in my marriage where I couldn't communicate my heart to Andre. I had to speak to God about something. And then God would speak to him somehow, you know. God got through to him. It doesn't work like it all the time. So, I mean, we communicate. I share with him my heart. We speak. But there were situations where I just couldn't explain to him, you know, what I was feeling and what I was going through. And I said to God, okay, Lord, help me. And then God would just open his eyes and we would, you know, would show him. It would be something that's really important to me and Andre doesn't necessarily see it. And then I just take it to the Lord. And let me tell you, God is so fighting for us as women. So fighting for you in a relationship where you respect your husband, when you treat him as your king. You know, God is so fighting for us. But then your husband must be able to hear God's voice. Okay? Otherwise, it's like a dead end, almost. Okay? So I just want to tell you that getting married, maybe dating a guy who doesn't know the Lord, could be fine for a while. Getting married to a guy who doesn't know God, and also maybe I must just also explain that being unequally yoked, there's a scripture in the Bible, all right, in Corinthians, it talks about being not being unequally yoked as a Christian. if I say being unequally yoked, sometimes we think as long as he's Christian, he should just not be like Hindu or something. As long as he's Christian, I'm not going to be unequally yoked. No. You could be unequally yoked even if you get married to a Christian guy. Okay, and I didn't understand that for a long time in my life. I thought, as long as I get married to a Christian, it's all going to be fine. But you get people who call themselves Christian, but they do not really follow God with all of their heart. They do not have your values and your priorities. Okay, there's a huge difference. I mean, there's many kind of Christians walking around. You need to find somebody that is one in purpose and spirit with you, where you are going. And then that is why you need to know where you are going. You need to know what is important to you. All right? So it is a huge problem to be unequally yoked with a guy. And let me tell you, God has something better for you than a guy who doesn't love him. Okay? God has something much better for you. He wants you to get married to somebody who loves him. All right? Okay, another thing that goes through our heads, what if I never get married because maybe God has forgotten me? What if I just never get married because, you know, maybe God slept in one morning and he didn't put that in the book, or the angels, you know, they got confused and they gave my husband to somebody else or something. You know, it's sometimes ridiculous, the thoughts that can go through our minds, you know, that what if, you know, all the administrative system there up in heaven is not working properly. I heard a testimony by a girl. I know her from Shafa Tigerberg, long, long ago. And she got married recently in this year. Beautiful testimony. I just want to read you one or two things that she said. She was 35. She got married. Okay, this year. She was in the UK and she felt in 2009 she must come back to South Africa. She ended up in a very small town, Heidelberg, close to where I grew up. I grew up in Ladysmith in the Little Karoo. Heidelberg always had a very good netball team. They killed us. We were very scared of them. Anyway, it's also a smallish town, like Ladysmith, but just in my year, they had this absolute amazing, I was so scared of them in any case. She started teaching at that time, and then the same thought started going through her head, where on earth am I going to get a husband? Because I'm 35, it's a small town. For those of you who know Heidelberg, it's really a small town, it's like a farming community. She said there was just nobody. Was nobody for her. So she went through the same questions. God, when on earth am I going to get married? I'm 35, there's nobody. And then God started speaking to her. And I just want to read you one or two things that she said. God told me to start changing the way I think by renewing my mind, according to Romans 12, verse 2. God told me that every time a thought like that enters my mind, that thought, when am I going to marry? Has God forgotten me? Where is my husband? I have to lay hold of it and start praising him for what he is going to do. I must start praising him for my husband and my children because it is his heart to give me that. I must also take scripture and praise scripture and speak it. So this is what I did every time after a soppy movie. When, oh, where's my husband feeling came over me. Or when a couple walked hand in hand on the beach and I felt sorry for myself. You all know, for those of you single, okay, I'm speaking a bit more to the singles now. I'll come to those of you who are dating. Looking at a couple walking hand in hand on the beach, felt sorry for myself for not having it. I started praising God for what he's going to do. It takes guts, this whole thing. At the age of 35, not seeing anybody, and now you watch people, oh, there's another Facebook relationship. You know, sometimes Facebook, I just want to... Yeah, and yeah, we must be happy for those who are happy, eh? Sometimes I think, yeah, Facebook stories. I took scriptures like man was not meant to be alone, so God created a woman. And I prayed, God, thank you that I'm someone's helper and wife. Your words say that man was not meant to be alone, so I thank you for giving me a partner and a friend. Thank you that I'll be a good partner to my husband and I'll serve him well. Other scriptures, it says that a man who finds a wife finds a good thing. So I prayed, God, your word says that a man who finds a wife finds a good thing. Thank you, Lord, that I'm that good thing that he's going to find. And thank you that he finds me quick. I turned every asking into a praise, giving, and thanking. I was not begging God for a husband. I was thanking him for one. This is very profound. It's very profound. And she got married in July this year. I think July. And it's the most, for me, it's the most beautiful testimony because 35, I mean, it's not that old. I mean, I know girls from Stellenbosch, they, a few of the older girls, they got married, they're older than even than 35. But 35 is relatively, you maybe can start stressing. I don't know. She started stressing. And I just think this is such a beautiful story. God dealt with her in a very particular way. He had all along planned a husband for her at that age. But he wanted to teach her something in the whole process. And he made it all beautiful. I mean, I don't have time now to read the whole story. But she moved to Mossel Bay. She met her husband in Mossel Bay. She didn't even notice him. He just served her. And he was, in the meantime, waiting for his wife for 12 years. That specific guy who married her. It's the most beautiful story. I think I can feel it at email. No, I feel it all. Most beautiful story, so encouraging, and but I just know this is not so easy. In a time of waiting, it's not so easy to declare what God is going to do if you don't see anything. But it's a change in approach and a change in heart, and it can change your life from a place of self-pity to a place of, I embrace this time. Okay, I embrace this time. So maybe you can also feel that you must change your strategy or your approach because you can't just wait on God. God is just waiting. He's just, you know, it takes too long. God is taking his time. You must now start taking action. Okay, this is something else that can go through your mind. And let me tell you, it's something that whenever you're in a waiting period, you go through that kind of feeling. You know, like for me now, where we are trying to fall pregnant, it's kind of a wait. It not kind of. It is a waiting period. So I'm at the moment in my life where I'm in a waiting season, like similar to some of you who are waiting for your life partner. And sometimes we just feel, I must take action. I must do something. I can't just wait on God. However, You must trust the Lord to lead you. And what I get at the moment in terms of scripture and in terms of God speaking to me is all about waiting. All about waiting. So I can't do anything. I can't act unless God show me the green light. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes we get impatient. Sometimes we say, God, I'm now going to... No. This church doesn't have enough guys. I'm going to now go to a church where there are more guys. Okay. I know, but where are you? But now, where are you going to find a church? Yeah, but you see, where are you going to find a church where there are more guys and girls? It is a problem. That's a real problem. But this is where you have to. I'm glad, Rosalind, that you're speaking up because it's real. It's real. However, let me tell you, if you plant yourself in a church where you feel this is the church where God led you to be, and you move on purely because there's not enough guys, you're making a big mistake. All right. We don't do church hopping because we can't find a husband. Or we don't do bar hopping or whatever kind of hopping you want to do. Town hopping. Oh, no, it's London's guys. Oh, my word. Let's move to PE, maybe this one. You have to follow God. You have to follow God with all of your heart. Otherwise, you might find somebody and you might make a mistake. All right? We have to follow God. So, I mean, this girl moved to Heidelberg. There was just nobody. And then God told her what she must do and where she must go to. She didn't just like follow a guy or say, no, I'm tired of waiting. I'm now going to do my own thing. It's very important to know that the moment we take matters into our own hands, we could make a mistake. We could. I'm not saying you will, but you could. You could. And in terms of church, you have to plant yourself where God leads you. You have to. You can't be led by the number of guys in the church. You can't. So just be careful not to start taking matters into your own hands when you feel God is taking his time. Because then you could make a mistake, and you don't want to make a mistake. You don't want to make a mistake. So I just want to read you two scriptures God has given to me. It's in Micah 7, verse 7. It says, "Therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation." Are you all distracted now? "I will look to the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." And listen to this one, Isaiah 64, verse 4. "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him." Beautiful. "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him." There's something about God acting for those who wait on him. So I just want to encourage you not to come to a stage where you feel you must now help God. And I know that feeling. I know that feeling. You feel, God, shouldn't I do something? Don't I miss you? Shouldn't I maybe do something? And that is where you need to trust your relationship with the Lord, the way he speaks to you. You must just follow his voice. Follow his voice. Okay, I want to talk about how to prepare for the right one, but any questions? Anything I said that doesn't make sense? You have questions? Does it make any sense to anybody? Anything that I've said? Okay. There's lots of lies and lots of confusion coming in when there's a waiting period. No matter what kind of waiting it is, there could be lots of emotions, lots of lies, lots of confusion, and that is why we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. If you're serving God, if you love God with all of your heart, keep your eyes on him. How to prepare for the right one? You have to embrace this time that you're in. Whether you're dating, whether you're single, you have to embrace it. You have to embrace this time. Like for me, this is something I really had to do because we're trying to fall pregnant. And as I said, this is a similar kind of waiting time. And at the beginning of last year, beginning of 2012, God said to me, "Sonika, you must go on with your life." So what I did, I joined the gym. I joined the worship team again at our church. I stopped buying baby and toddler magazines. Stopped buying that. And I stopped buying maternity clothes at the Woolies sale. Which is a poor thing. So for me, that was, "Sonika, go on with your life." God didn't say to me all of those details. He just said to me, "You have to go on with your life." Because at that stage, I was waiting to fall pregnant. Like maybe some of you are waiting to enter into a relationship. And for me, there were certain things I had to just start doing again. There were certain things I had to stop doing. So I want to ask you to think about maybe a few things that you need to start doing or stop doing in terms of waiting for your life partner. Even if you are in a relationship, it could also be applicable if you are in a relationship. There could be some things that you must stop doing and certain things that you must start doing again. And it, you know, I don't believe that God told me that I must go on with my life because I'm never going to have another child. I believe God wanted me not to miss out on a certain period in my life and sit in the corner and feel sorry for myself. He wanted me to embrace this time because there's purpose. There's a purpose in this waiting period. Even though it's not easy and even though it's hard and even though it doesn't always make sense, there's purpose. Whenever you're waiting for something, there is a huge purpose. And God wants you to understand it. He wants you to embrace that time with all of your heart. With all of your heart, you have to embrace it. You see, when you get married, things change. I want to read you another scripture. 1 Corinthians 7:33-34. It says, a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. This is now the Apostle Paul speaking, so just see it in perspective. He never got married. His interests are divided. This is now a married man. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities. Let me tell you, that is true. And how to please a husband, let me tell you, that is also true. It is different when you get married. And I know it's deep inside of us, we all want to get married. It's a legitimate, God-given desire. Okay, you don't have to feel guilty about it. You don't have to stress about it. You don't have to feel condemned about it. It's a God-given thing in all of us to get married. He created us like that. To get married and to have children. For some of you, I was never really broody. But I know some of you are. Since you were 6 years old, you're broody. Some people are. But God created us like that. So it's a God-given thing. However, in the age that we live in, there is often a longer period of being single than I think God ever intended it to be. But God is not confused. God is not confused, and He wants you to embrace this time. He wants you to make the most of it. With all of your heart, embrace it. Because it is different. It is different. I have so many good memories of being single. But I also have awesome memories of being married and being a mom. But the thing is, you can... in that specific waiting period, you can feel so sorry for yourself that you miss out on something really beautiful and something really awesome. And this is why I just want to encourage you to embrace whatever kind of season you are in, embrace it. Make the most of it. Enjoy it. Because the moment you go over into a next season, it's different. It's different. It's going to be good and it's going to be awesome, but it is going to be different. And you don't want to regret. You don't want to have regrets. You don't want to feel, if I've just embraced my single years more, if I've just done that and that, because now I can't really do it anymore. So embrace this time. Become the girl that the guy you're looking for would be interested in. Become the girl that the guy you're looking for would be interested in. So instead of focusing so much on finding somebody, just focus on yourself. Not in terms of evaluating yourself all the time and feeling guilty and condemned about who you are not, but if you have a certain person in mind, ask yourself, would that guy be interested in me? Would he really be interested in me? Ask yourself that. All right? And I know that can lead to many, many condemning nonsense in our heads. You know, now we feel, I'm not good enough. And, nobody's ever going to like me. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, we heard a testimony from a girl. She didn't serve God. Then she met this one guy at a party. He served God. And she came home and she told her mother about this guy that she met, about how awesome he is and how amazing. And he made such an impression on her. And then her mom said, yeah, but do you ever think that a guy like that would be interested in you? And she fell in the kitchen, fell on the floor and just said to her, and started crying out to the Lord and said, God, no, he wouldn't be interested in me, because she was compromising all the time. But she was so impressed by this man. And her mom challenged her and she said, would he ever be interested in you? And her eyes opened for the life that she was living. And she changed. She changed her life. Because she evaluated that man according to her lifestyle. She said, no, he wouldn't be interested in me. So this is what I'm talking about. Invest in good friendships. Invest in good friendships with girls and with women. And sometimes also we look for a friend, but we don't always make an effort to be a friend. So I want to encourage you to be a friend. Not only to look for friends, but to go out and be a friend. And I know for those of you that I know, you are doing that, which is amazing. You're not only sitting around waiting for somebody to phone you and to love you. You make an effort, and I think that is really commendable. But that is so healthy, you know, not just to sit back and wait for a friend, but to be a friend. Invest in good friendships, and then. Just lastly, before I'm going to go into a few question-answer things, we have to learn to find our security and our hope and our fulfillment in God. And maybe it feels like a cliche, you know, that God comes first and we can't make an idol of a person. But let me tell you, it will never change. Even after you get married, after you find this man that you can share everything with, if you make an idol of him, that relationship will go sour. It will become extremely unhealthy. If your husband becomes your everything, or your boyfriend, if he becomes your everything, the relationship just won't work. It won't be nice. We're not designed to worship another man or a person. We're designed to worship God and him alone. So, to learn that in a time when you're not married, when either you are only dating or when you're still single, is valuable. To learn, because to learn to worship God alone, which means you find your strength in God, you find your fulfillment in God, you find your hope in God, that God is your source. The moment it moves to a man or to a person, it could be a friend as well, that relationship becomes unhealthy, and God cannot bless it. He cannot bless it because we make an idol of that person. So if we learn now to make God our source and our fulfillment, you can have a healthy marriage. Or if you're dating, if you learn now in terms of your dating relationship to still make God your source and your fulfillment, you can have a healthy dating relationship. Does it make sense to you? Okay, any questions? What we recommend, it's a recommendation, but we've seen that it's really the golden recipe that not many people follow because it's extremely difficult. But in any dating relationship, what we recommend is friendship for as long as possible, if you can do it like that. By friendship, I mean you're not actually dating, you're not holding hands, you're not dating. You're not in any formal kind of relationship, but you're seeing each other informally and in a group, and you go for coffee, you're friends. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? We encourage that period of time for as long as possible. Then we encourage people to keep the dating period as short as possible. And then we encourage people to get married as soon as you are honestly convinced and have peace in your heart that this is the person that you're supposed to get married to. It doesn't work like that for everybody. It depends on your studies. It depends on your work. It depends on where you live. It depends on if it's a long-distance relationship or not. It depends on many, many, many different things. Okay, but it to date for a very, very, very long time, there are. It's difficult. It's difficult. Okay, you grow closer. If you follow God and you have to keep sex for marriage, you grow closer and closer and closer and closer to one another, but you have to hold back all the time physically. It gets extremely difficult. So the longer you date, the more difficult it becomes to hold back physically. All right, so this is why we say, why we recommend, do your friendship phase for as long as you can. Keep your dating phase as short as possible, whatever that might be, but not necessarily 8 years, something. Keep it as short as possible. Keep it even a year, or if you had a long friendship stage. Okay, so does that answer anything? Not really. Okay. And it's, you see, the thing is, if what we believe is, or what I always believed, I wouldn't have entered into a dating relationship if there wasn't a chance that I would marry the guy. Okay, so I know maybe all of you are not on that page, but for me it was always, I wouldn't, obviously it's always a risk, okay? I mean, you need to get to know the person, rather break a relationship than getting divorced, all right? So there's always room for rather breaking a relationship than getting married and get divorced. However, I wouldn't recommend any dating relationship if it's just for the sake of dating, if you know God, because what is the point? What is the point? You're going to get hurt, you're going to hurt somebody else. So the idea, what we recommend, is you only date a guy if there's a good, very good possibility and feeling in your heart that you will marry him. And hopefully he has got the same feeling towards you. Otherwise, we're kind of just messing around. So if there's a couple who have been dating for 6-7 years and the guy is not asking the girl to marry him, I mean, what on earth? I don't know. You need to, if you are in a relationship like that, unless you talk about it, unless there are specific reasons, but if you are in a relationship and it's been 6 or 7 years and the guy's not asking you to marry him, I don't know. You need to evaluate why. You have to evaluate, why is he not asking me to marry him? Because let me tell you, guys can't wait so long. They must get married. So, unless there's specific practical things that you are aware of. But if you really want to get married and the guy's not asking you, there must be maybe a red light. You just, okay, let me evaluate. Okay, any other questions? I'll give my answer, then you must say if I... The question is, how important is finances? Are you also asking how important is it that the man has a job? Okay. When we got married, Andre was still studying, so I was the only one with an income. It was quite tough on us. However, I knew it was going to change because he was doing his master's degree. He had like a random bursary here and there, but it wasn't a proper income. So I was the breadwinner for a year. I don't think it is a major problem as long as it's not a... as long as it's a temporary thing. Because it can put a lot of pressure on the girl if she's the breadwinner. However, if you earn more than your husband, it's not a problem at all. I earned more than Andre for most of my life. It's not a problem. But you have to handle it right as the woman. You can't make him feel stupid or inferior or as if you're giving him pocket money or something like that. This is marriage stuff, okay? You don't have to worry about this. It's not the end of the world if he's still studying and you get married. But you see, it's all about, is there a specific reason why it's not working? Or is it kind of his lifestyle? He's falling around, then you need to, then it's not about the job, it's more about what's going on inside of him. But in theory, the whole thing that the man is the breadwinner, you need to evaluate every situation separately. Okay, any other questions? Yeah. It's a difficult question. Okay, the question is, if you go on a date, how do you manage the expectation and the disappointment, if there is a disappointment? How do you manage that up and down thing? You have to somehow learn to guard your heart, which is not so easy. You have to be able to not put your whole heart into a relationship or a date unless you know what is really in it for you. So you need to ask God to help you to guard your heart. If you now go on a date, if a guy asks you out and you go for coffee and he never asks you again, that your life doesn't fall apart. And then just say, okay, God, then obviously he's not my husband if he's not the right one for me. So you need to find a security in the Lord that you are beautiful, that you are special, and that God has something planned for you, and if a date doesn't work out, that he has something better for you. Does it help a bit? Sort of. You have to find a kind of a security in God and ask him to help you to manage the emotional side of going on a date and going on a second date and then, yeah, that kind of up and down feeling. It's the only way. We need to, I know, guard your heart is a bit of an abstract thing. Okay, what does that mean? You have to ask God to help you to protect your heart. So you can't on the first date now share everything about yourself and open up and share everything about your grandmother and your... Yeah, some people do that, eh? They're so overexcited that they... So you have to share as little as possible about yourself on the first date to protect yourself. Because the more you open up, the more you give of yourself emotionally, the more you share, the harder it's going to be when the relationship ends. That is also a practical way of just protecting your heart. You must realize that for the guys to ask you out, they're under a lot of pressure, hey? They're under a lot of pressure. Shouldn't talk so loudly. But just give the guys, just give them grace. They are in their own pursuit of their partner, and they are the one who must ask you for coffee. Except these four girls now have those. You have permission to ask a guy. Yeah, just give them grace and just allow them to, because the poor guys are sometimes so scared to ask us for a coffee because now our world will fall apart if he doesn't ask you again. No, they rather don't do it. Okay, some of them are in that situation where they, you know, they don't know what to do because we take it sometimes so seriously and they just want to test the waters. It's difficult. The dating scene is a difficult time. That is why you really need to rely on God. Obviously, they say finances are one of the one of the top three reasons why people get divorced. It's definitely a huge problem in marriages. Okay, so it could become a problem after marriage, but if finances is not an issue. It all depends on the relationship between the people and the husband's relationship with God and with his wife. But finances definitely, it could become a huge problem in a relationship. Just with me and Andre, it wasn't a problem because the fact that he didn't work was a temporary situation. But if it continued like that, it would have been a big burden on me. But finances is a whole big topic on its own. I can keep you busy for 3 days. Yes, you're welcome. Do you want the microphone?
Okay, my name is Esty, and okay, it's a bit emotional, but I was 34 years old, never married, felt like God forgot, totally forgotten about me. And I got involved in a relationship which was okay for me at that stage because it filled my loneliness that I had. And I remember that one day sitting saying, God, my biological clock is ticking. When am I ever going to have a family? And needless to say, a month later I fell pregnant. Well, a month later I found out I was pregnant. And I look at it now, I've got a 2-year-old little boy, and the father of the child asked me to go for an abortion, which I refused to. And as you were speaking about don't settle for second best, I just sat there and I just want to encourage each one of you in this waiting period, just hang in there. I'm not sorry that I've got my son, but I do sometimes look at it and think, yo, God, if I just hang in there a little bit longer. But I look at him now and I know that God's got such a special plan for his life. He brings a lot of joy to everyone he meets. But really, girls, the devil will come and he'll tell you all kinds of lies, especially with worldly men. They'll tell you everything that you think that you want to hear. But at the end of the day, God has got that someone special for you. Just don't settle for second best.
Thanks for sharing. Okay, one more question. Yeah, I found that people who move in together who do not know God, they're not very open for a specific opinion because they really honestly believe that what they do is the right thing. I think it's a different story if it's a Christian couple and they believe in God. Then there's lots of things that you can say, even proof that you can give them that this is gonna destroy their relationship. But people who have not yet come to a place where they have committed their lives to the Lord, it's very difficult to go into an argument with them because they don't really see it for what it is. But no matter what reason people give you for moving in together, there's lots of reasons, you know, financially it's going to be cheaper and we're going to save money and things. God intended us to live as a married couple only in marriage. And the wages of sin is death. So if we're going to have sex before marriage and live as a married couple before we get married, there will be death to our relationship. There will be. So, but as I say, it's difficult to convince people who feel that they're doing the right thing that it's going to be bad for their relationship. But you can ask them that, do they feel that, if they evaluate, you know, the process, do they feel that it has been a good thing or not? But do they know God? Is it a Christian couple? Do they serve the Lord? Not. Okay. So you see, then it's very difficult to argue with them. We should actually then trust the Lord that they will come into a relationship with Him first and that He will open their eyes for the truth. Okay, does it make sense? No. Okay, we have to finish. Okay, I'm just going to pray for us. I know there's lots of questions. If you have any kind of question that you want to maybe ask me, you can email me. If there's any burning thing in your heart now after tonight, you can very welcome to email me or chat to me at church. I know there's maybe we should have just done questions and answers, eh? I should have left all my talking. Okay, I'm just going to pray for us. Father, I bless all these beautiful women. Father, I bless their future. I bless them, their future spouse. I thank you, God, that you are in control of their lives. Lord, and I just release a hope, I release a faith, and I release a security in them, God, that you are for them, that you are with them, and that you are really, really, really in control of their lives. I thank you, God, just for the knowing that you love them and that they can trust in you with all of their hearts. So we pray, God, that you'll prepare their husbands. I pray, God, that you'll handpick them, every one of them, that you'll bring them together at the right time, at the right place. I pray, God, that you'll prepare them for one another. And I pray, God, for those who are in a dating relationship, God, that you will bless them, that they'll truly be able to seek you together as a dating couple, that you'll bless them, God, that you'll speak to them about the right time to get married, the right time to just enter into a covenant relationship with one another. I just ask for your blessing over each and every one in the name of Jesus. Amen.